In this IBA podcast, Drago Coz, chair of the OECD Working Group on Bribery, discusses international efforts to tackle bribery and corruption. Following the Panama Papers leaks and the anti-corruption summit in London in May 2016, Coz offers his views on enforcement of the OECD Anti-Bribery Convention, responsible business conduct, the offshore world, and the role of the legal profession.
This convention means that bribery is now a crime in 41 countries. But how do you balance that with the fact that 24 of those countries have yet to conclude a single foreign bribery enforcement action?
This is simply a consequence of the fact that some countries simply do not take the convention and our work seriously enough. We have some countries which have ratified convention, let's say, 10, 14, 15 years ago, and they still did not implement it. This is really painful, you know. They did not even implement it in their own legislation. You could understand that some smaller countries are still without any meaningful investigation on cases of foreign bribery. But if you have countries like, let's say, Japan, Russia, Argentina, Brazil, without any investigation in foreign bribery cases, then this for sure means that they're not taking their task and their obligation seriously. I must say, though, that things are changing to the better, and I really hope that the next report on the implementation of the convention will be a bit better one. We see that, let's say, not only investigations, but the number of prosecutions and also the number of adjudications is going up, and hopefully it will go up even more this year. And they have to result in some, let's say, outcomes, either, let's say, the settlements between prosecutors, of course, and the defending companies, or either in sentences.
You're starting something called Phase 4, which is the latest phase of trying to make the convention work and produce results. Can you tell us what is different now?
Well, one thing will definitely change in this is that we are trying to engage the private sector more in the fight against bribery, especially the foreign one. And we know that we can do this in two different ways. First, through increasing the pressure. The second part, which is even more important, is we will try to engage them as partners. And this means that lawyers in big companies will be getting more and more engaged in what they would have to be doing already in establishing compliance systems, underlining the basic principles which they have to follow. But this time, not under the threat of being sanctioned if they don't do it, but being under the positive motivation, hopefully, that their companies, if they will, develop effective compliance systems, if they will engage in properly with law enforcement authorities, then they will get rewarded in some way. Unfortunately, until now, the companies are being rewarded only when the problems are already there. So let's say in the U.S. you have federal sentencing guidelines according to which companies will be sanctioned mildly if they do cooperate. UK, Italy, effective compliance system and cooperation are full-fledged defense. What we want to achieve, what we want to develop is the positive motivation, which is basically that companies would be rewarded even before there are possible cases of corruption identified in themselves.
Where should the focus be in the Phase 4 cycle of evaluations? In other words, I suppose you've got detection, you've got enforcement, you've got making legal individuals responsible. Where should your priority be?
Well, this is very simple. You see, three words: enforcement, enforcement, enforcement. So whatever we do, the final goal of our work is that we enforce the convention, meaning that we investigate, prosecute, and adjudicate individuals who are breaching the convention. And this is our final goal, and we will invest, major efforts in this area.
Your view on the offshore world in general, in the fight against corruption?
It is part of the problem. I would not say it is a small one, because, those offshore companies can be easily used for bribery, too. And this is what we see in the Panama Papers. The original idea of Panama Papers was not for them to be used for, cover-up for bribery, but when... let's call them bad guys. When they realized how good this can be used also for different illegal things, in addition to, tax evasion, money laundering, hiding the real owners of the companies, they started to misuse offshore companies also for foreign bribery. And this is just adding another layer to the level of the problems we are facing.
If you are treading a fine line and you are, for example, a lawyer who is on the board of a shell company, is there anything you can say to me today that might make that lawyer a bit more nervous this year than last year?
The registries on, let's say, real beneficial owners will be developed, and authorized services will have full access to them. This is number one. Number two, the efforts in the area of, let's say, money laundering, anti-money laundering, and tax evasions are advancing into the next stage, where the exchange of data between countries are reaching completely new dimensions. So when countries which don't want to do something or they don't know how to do it, they're always looking for excuses, and it's never their fault. They always look at somebody else saying, well, if they don't do it, why should we do it? The anti-money laundering system in all countries of the world, thanks to Financial Action Task Force and Edmund Group, which is dealing with the operational side of it, it is already organized in the way that all such, let's say, transactions would have to be registered. But, you know, registering something is one part of a thing. Controlling it in the way, let's say, basically means monitoring what is the real, let's say, substantial reason, is different. So if you would try to stop those transactions, I think the whole world economy would slowly slow down. So after those transactions are being registered, simply the institutions will have to deal with them. Simple fact that the money is going to, let's say, offshore territories, countries, is not enough for law enforcement to start any investigations. You know, there has to be what we call a predicate offense, meaning that some illegal things would have to happen before. Then they can start investigating things. The London summit was a major breakthrough because for years we didn't see any meaningful initiative from any country in the world, especially not such an important country as UK, in the area of anti-corruption. So this is worth of all respects. But I'm just looking forward to see what else we have to do. And since I know that after the pledges, the critical time comes, which is implementation.
I see that Transparency International, who gave the summit in London a pretty good rating, they were pretty pleased with it, but they do say that registers of ownership, beneficial ownership, need to be public. And I think what's happening with the offshore jurisdictions is that those registers will not be public. They will be open to the police. Is the public disclosure of beneficial ownership something that you insist on as well?
Yes, but we have to realize that we live in the, let's say, in a very in a real impractical world. Things are changing, as I say, I tend to say, by millimeters. So already this development is a good one. Of course, TI is saying registers have to be published and accessible to the general public. But I simply know that this will not happen today, this will not happen tomorrow. And we have some countries in the world which are pretending that they are fighting corruption. It's very simple to change the legislation. It's very easy to establish new institutions saying they will fight corruption. But when it comes to the deeds, this is the real proof that their intentions are real, serious, and genuine. And this is sometimes missing. While whistleblowing in the, let's say, developed part of the world is something which is heavily anchored in the, let's say, in the conscience of the people as something good, for the rest of the world, whistleblowing is something bad. Because it used to mean blowing the whistle meant cooperating with, say, secret services for political reasons. It meant snitching for I don't know which purposes. So first we'll have to change the perception of people in those countries.
So you can't just change the laws which are designed now to protect whistleblowers. You're saying there's a cultural shift that hasn't happened.
Which will take some years, you know, because if something was bad for decades, we cannot simply change this by changing the law and saying, well, please come forward and report. All conventions are asking for penalties which have to be effective, proportionate, and dissuasive. In different countries, this can mean significant differences, let's say if you speak about the years of imprisonment. But, of course, they have to fulfill those conditions. And what we're trying hard is really we're putting a lot of emphasis on the sanction regimes of countries. The ordinary scenario is that, let's say, fighting bribery would be part of business strategies of all companies, part of policies of all governments. Even more, nowadays we speak less and less about fighting corruption, we speak more and more about enhancing integrity. And this is our final goal. Companies and, let's say, individuals have to understand that work, or let's say functioning for companies without bribery, is better for their economic results, it's better for their salaries, if you want so, it's better for their lives. You see, we cannot send a police officer or a prosecutor into every company we have in our countries, you know. The companies can do the bulk of the work by themselves, of course, if they feel incentivized. First of all, what is the biggest incentive? If the management boards do understand honest business operations are also economically good, if they understand that if they will fight corruption, they will have not only economic better results, but they will also have some advantages when they will try to get contracts signed with governments for tendering procedures, then they will do it by themselves. And this is worth more than engaging thousands or 10,000 police officers around the world. We are facing real problems now, you know, refugee crisis. This hasn't happened before. Climate changes. This is simply something which is waiting for us next door already. So we are aware of the problems, not because we think that corruption is causing all of this, but because, you know, the problems, the results, are also caused by corruption.